Okay, good evening, everybody. We're going to do a little bit about the four minor fast days tonight. We're doing a three or four part series concerning the halachos of the 3 weeks and 9 days. And tonight we're going to start with some details related specifically to Shivas or Batamuz. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the specific aspects of the fast, of the eating and drinking and stuff like that, and maybe a little bit of different machshava at the end. Let's see what we can do. Okay. Let's start with a little bit about questions of just basic halachos of eating and drinking on a fast day. Again, I didn't make any marakom sheets for tonight. I thought maybe I had one already, but in the end I didn't. Just general rule of eating and drinking on fast days is obviously that it's also okay. There is a discussion in the post, which we're not going to go into now, about exactly what the status of these fast days is. Okay, the four minor fast days we're talking about: Tzom Gedalia, Asar B'Teves, Shivas B'Tammuz, and Tanis Esther is actually in its own category, so we'll leave that one out. But these three fasts are generally in the category of Avelus of the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, we're mourning for the destruction of the temple. Each one had its own stage of what it was up to. Shivas B'Tammuz is, remember, the stage where the Romans started to siege around Yerushalayim. Okay? They came, they made a blockade and a siege around Yerushalayim. 3 weeks, of course, by the end, they broke in, and on Tisha B'Av, 3 weeks later, they burned down the Beis Hamikdash. That was basically the timeline for Shivas B'Tammuz. In terms of the halachos behind it, so all of these three fasts are, again, what we call the minor fast days. Okay, they're not the major fast days. Major fast days include Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. These fast days are a little bit less stringent. There are a number of different aspects in which they are less stringent. The main one that we generally deal with is simply the fact that it starts in the morning as opposed to at night. And again, this is discussed in different sources. But basically, the fact that we start in the morning as opposed to at night, that differentiates these from the other ones. That makes it a little bit more more lenient. Again, there is discussion. You know, it wasn't such a simple thing. That wasn't such a given thing throughout history. But that's definitely the way that it comes down today. Again, as we mentioned, obviously there's no eating and drinking on these fast days. The other aspects, according to what we passed, and the other aspects of the major fast days do not apply here, and all the issues of Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, of not wearing leather shoes, and anointing and all those things do not apply in general on these fast days. Again, there are different discussions about it, but the bottom line is what basically everybody pretty much accepts is that these things don't apply. Okay? Alright. So first question is, what time does fast start? Okay, anybody know what, not exactly, but what's the general time period that you say for the minor fast is that you're not allowed to eat in the morning? Okay, Alos HaShachar, right? That's generally what's accepted. That's, before Alos HaShachar is, in terms of the fast day, is generally permitted to eat and drink and do whatever you want. The only limitation which is mentioned in some of the poskim when it comes to some of these fast days, including private fast days, perhaps, but the poskim talk about the possibility that if you didn't actually, if you went to sleep the night before, okay, and you ate, you went to sleep, and you planned on getting up the next morning, you know, at a regular time and not eating, so it could be, according to some, that maybe you can't eat if you later change your mind and decide to get up in the morning at 4 o'clock in the morning to eat. You can't do that. Okay, that's a discussion. And with Hachiva, it's definitely better to not do that. Meaning, if you're planning on getting up and eating in the next morning, with Hachiva, it's definitely better to have in mind right the night before you go to sleep that I may get up in the morning and eat or drink something. Otherwise, it could be that it's already ki'ilu, you've accepted upon yourself the fast day from beforehand, even though it didn't start yet, but if you already accepted upon yourself to not eat or drink anymore, then it could be that that's halachically valid. So at least for Chachiva, that shouldn't be allowed. Again, but the evidence, if you didn't do that, it could be there's some room to be lenient. But definitely, it's much better if you have that in mind, if that's what you plan on doing. This time of year in the summertime, that's not so common. Okay. In the wintertime, on the other hand, it's a little bit different when you're talking about Alyssa Shachar at, somewhere between 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock, depending on whatever it is. So then that's already more common. Here in the summer, I don't know who's getting up at 4 o'clock to eat or drink. So I don't know how relevant that is. But that's just the point. That's a worthwhile position. Okay. Hello. Okay. Next point. When exactly is Alyssa Shachar? Okay. This is not specifically fastly related halacha, but it is an important halacha to just be aware of, especially in this case. Practically, you have to know. Anybody know what either one of two questions? Either what time is Alyssa Shachar, or number two, how long is Alyssa Shachar before sunrise, before Netzach Chama? Anybody know?
72 minutes.
Second?
72 minutes.
Okay, maybe. I mean, possibly. Very possibly. Anybody else? This year? Very good. That's the other answer. That's the other answer. Very good. That's the other question. There are two options here. I can't see the Abinim in calendar, and because I'm in my house, I'm actually connected to the wireless internet here. Maybe it's not the right thing to say on a shear. Connected to wireless internet on the shear. It might be taboo these days, having a sifa is about going against the internet, and I'm going on the internet without a shear.
424.
Okay. So did they get two times for Alyssa Shachar, or?
One
time. Okay.
Yeah, the time there is. That's
Misha Yacher. That's not relevant to staff days. So let's take a look here. Okay. So 424 is one possible time. Is that for you're looking at Shiva Sarva Tamas?
Oh, so we should
look for Shabbat. Yeah, we'll just look for next week so we'll know what we're talking about.
Nida Mem Gim.
That'll be fine.
It doesn't actually have date.
There, one is on one side and one side is all, one's on the other side.
429.
Okay, which is July 8th? Is it the same date?
July 7th.
July 7th.
July 7th day, which is you. Yeah, July 7th.
Okay, now here it is. Yeah, no, July 8th, I think. Yeah, July 8th. Sun of July is Yud-Chet Tavuz. This year, Shiva Tavuz is on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically here in on MyZmanim.com, so they have, based on minutes, is 4:30 and or 4:15. What does it say there?
I got 4:29.
4:29. Okay, so they're also based on this. Now, it's very, very interesting. If you look at the, if you look at some of the pamphlets here in Avenue Min, not this one, but if you look at, like, the Merkazi, they didn't put it out yet, but if you look at the Merkazi, there's Manam chart, and probably for Shirat Katif also, I would guess that they will give you a different time. Okay, my guess is that they will give you, I guess they will give you 3:52. Okay, anybody know what I'm talking about now? Okay, so, or something along those lines, maybe not exactly 3:52, but something along those lines. What's shot here? So basically, again, we discussed this like a year or two ago at a different shear, but basically, there's actually a difference of opinion of when Alyssa Shachar is, okay? Most people say that it's 72 minutes before sunrise, or the degree equivalent to that, meaning how many degrees below the horizon is the sun in that location. But there are those that say that it's actually 90 minutes before Netzach Chama, or the degree equivalent of how many degrees 90 minutes would be. And again, that's a complicated cheshbon to figure out. What that means is basically, at certain times of the year in Jerusalem, how many degrees below the horizon would the sun be if, at the time of 72 minutes, exactly. Okay, that's the complicated assessment that they make. But the way that those are the two options, either what we call 72 minutes or 90 minutes. There might be other options as well, but those are the two most accepted ones. The basic debate, and we're not going to get into this now, basically the debate is about how big a meal is. Okay, meal is a measurement. Okay, and there's a question of how long it takes to walk a meal. This is the machlokas already in the times of the Rishonim, whether a meal is 18 minutes or is 22 and a half minutes or even more than that. So depending on which opinion you follow, the Shulchan Aruch and other halachas follows 18 minutes. If you follow 18 minutes, so basically what they say is that between Alyssa Shachar and sunrise is 4 meal. Okay, this is what the Gemara says. That between Alyssa Shachar and sunrise is 4 meal.
So far, about a kilometer.
Roughly. But again, it may depend on how you calculate the time, right. How far it takes to walk, how long it takes to walk a meal. But that's basically the debate. Again, the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos in Yoreh Deh and other places pop in like the 18-minute rule. That's generally what's accepted is 18 minutes, which means 72 minutes for Alyssa Shachar. However, here in Eretz Yisrael, many folks come in the Luach Eretz Yisrael, and some of the places they follow the 90-minute rule. And therefore, it's often common here that you'll find on the charts, you'll find that they follow 90 minutes, which on this one apparently they didn't. but in some of them they do. So depending on which one you hold by, just be aware, that's what we talk about when we're talking about the different times here. So 4:29 or 4:30 is basically for next week is about 72 minutes flat before Alos HaShachar. If you follow the degrees, so the degrees is again about 4:15 or so. And if you follow 90 minutes or degrees, that's going to be closer to about 3:50 or so.
The degrees, I mean, we're so close to Jerusalem. Would it really be so different than Jerusalem?
Yeah. No, just because this time of year, this time of year is 72 minutes because of the way that the...
it's the degrees on the fault.
Yeah, it's on it's equal, exactly, the equinox when the dams for the nighttime are the equal amount of time. That's basically what they figure out. Okay, again, we don't have time to get into that, but that's all based on interesting things, based on the Vilna Gaon and the Shulchan Aruch of the Baal HaTanya, who ironically were very against each other in terms of their approach to Torah. Okay, the Vilna Gaon was what they call a Litvak. He was, straight Torah and very against the Hasidic movement. And of course, the Baal HaTanya, the Shulchan Aruch, was one of the founders of the Hasidic movement. He was, the Shulchan Aruch was not against the Vilna Gaon, but the Vilna Gaon was very against him. Ironically, on this issue, particularly in terms of the astronomy and the times, they actually, their approaches were basically the same thing, and that's basically what we follow today, even though many others disagreed with them. But my today, we have basically verified their approaches based on, their ideas come out with this idea of degrees, which is often what's followed. So that's what works here. But again, depending on 72 or 90 minutes, you'll have different opinions. Okay? So again, if you ask me, my impression is that 72 minutes is the standard approach, but still there are many people that are machmir, so it's definitely not a bad thing to be machmir at 90 minutes this time of year. Again, as I mentioned before, I don't really know how relevant that is, who's going to be getting up at 4:30, 4 o'clock or 4:30 in the morning to go eat. But again, if that's necessary or if you're going to Vasikin, and I don't know what things to keep in mind. Okay, any questions on that? Good. All right. Next point. This is an interesting point. All right. When exactly do the restrictions of the 3 weeks start? Okay, the Shiva Shabbat Thomas begins the time period of the 3 weeks. And 3 weeks, again, we'll discuss, this will probably be next week's share, has certain restrictions, okay, listening to music and haircuts and weddings and stuff like that. The Shaila is, when does it start? When does the 3 weeks start? Second?
It goes stepwise.
Right. So the 3 weeks restrictions, which, by the way, the ones I mentioned were mainly for Ashkenaz and Spartan, maybe they don't necessarily apply in the same way. But whatever they are, the question is, when do they start? So normally, very good. Normally they start. That's the question. Okay. So normally the restrictions of 3 weeks start on Shiva Shabbat Tammuz. The question is, do the restrictions start the night before, or do they start on the morning of Shiva Shabbat Tammuz when the fast starts? Okay. You have a question? Any question? Okay. What did you say?
Over
the night before. Okay. So the answer is. Okay. The answer is, as you might guess, is. You're half right, but the real answer is that it's machlokas. Right, that's exactly the answer. That's what it always is. Okay, so that's machlokas here. Whether we start the night before or not, I'll just tell you the sheet is very quickly here. We don't have machlokas inside, but okay. So Rav Moshe has a shul about this. Rav Moshe wants to say that this is a machlokas in Rishonim already, based on certain discussions about a Tanit Tivor, whether a Tanit Tivor starts at night or in the daytime. And since we generally start in the daytime, so and this was only a minhag, so he says there's room to make it, especially when he's talking about a wedding. That was one of the questions they wanted to know if they got a wedding the night before. So he's make it, based on that. Other poskim, including the chida, and a few others, are machmirim, so that you cannot do that. You can't have a wedding the night before. The Piskei Tshuvot, in his discussion on this, so he says. That he says that the postman has agreed today that to follow the more machmir approach he's got the night before. He quotes the Stipler of Sitt Eliezer and a few others who say that that Lemaise said that we're machmir to start the night before. Again, obviously, if there was an important need, there would be room to make it. He mentions also here in terms of taking a haircut or shaving, if it's going to be a real problem and you weren't able to do it beforehand, then maybe you could make it at night if you couldn't get to it, etc., etc. What's interesting is that this year, okay, what would you say that this year? Why this year might it be different? When is Shiva Shabbat this year? On Shabbos, right? So the question is, do the restrictions start already the night after Shabbos, which is already Yud Ches Shabbat at night? What would you say?
Probably.
So perhaps it stands to reason. I think this is a solid point that even if you're Mekil, like Rav Moshe, the rest of the time that hold that it doesn't start in the nighttime, it starts in the daytime. But if Shiva Shabbat Talmud is being pushed off by a day and done on observed on Sunday, and really the 17th of Tammuz is on Shabbos. So after Shabbos is over, Motzei Shabbos, I think everybody would agree that that you start at night, okay? Because it's already within the 3-week time period anyway. It's already past Shiva Lesser B'Tamuz because the fast day was pushed off. I think everybody would agree to that. And that's Fiskit Shua doesn't put any footnotes on that, but he basically says the same thing. He says in a case like our case this year, he says everybody would agree that that you start already the you start the rules of the 3 weeks on Moshe Shabbos. Okay, that's basically what this year it's not relevant. In this year everything's got to start already before Shabbos. Whatever you would want to do before the 3 weeks, depending on your customs, which again we'll talk about next week, that should be done. Okay, main things again, obviously weddings not relevant so much, but shaving and haircutting. Those who are mocking around shaving, and that's a question which we'll learn about. But those who are mocking around shaving the entire 3 weeks, and certainly haircutting, and other stuff, generally should be avoid doing on Moshe Shabbos. Okay. Thursday?
For when next week's class, you teach about next week, too late.
So that's what I'm mentioning now, just in terms of, again, the wedding is not really a relevant thing. But in terms of the shaving haircut, that's really the main thing that you would be mocking me about. Other than that, again, music is not, you don't have to prepare for not listening to music, but if I'm not listening to music, if you're mocking around music during the 3 weeks, then you would be mocking some music also on Moshe Shabbos. Okay. You can just fill it up or whatever. Okay, so let's go to the next point. Who is allowed to eat on the 4 fast days on Shiva Shiva Tammuz? Okay, good. You were very quick to answer that one, right? Okay. Good. Okay, so it's very, very clear from the Shulchan Aruch, and this is all, by the way, discussed. If you want to look like in a project on a source sheet, but we're trying to go through all the telephones quickly tonight. We're not going to do an in-depth on any one point. It's in Tav Kuf Nun in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. So basically he says that the Shulchan Aruch says that everybody is obligated to fast on these 4 fast days, but us are with for getter. You're not allowed to break the fence, meaning make a breach on the fence, meaning you shouldn't go and change the rules and start making leniencies, et cetera, et cetera. Again, without going into this now, again, there is a discussion maybe today that maybe the fast days are not on their full force based on the Navi, where they're discussing Sefer Zechariah. It sounds like it's what we call different Kabbalahs from the prophets. But today maybe that's not the case based on the Gemara, which we're not going to go into. But the Shulchan Aruch says we don't mess around. Okay, today has been accepted that we keep the fast days, and therefore we keep them, and no messing around, you got to keep them. Okay. However, the Rama adds, however, and this is accepted by Sfaradim as well, pregnant women and nursing women, shemit ta'aros harbe, which are in a lot of distress, they don't have to fast. Okay. And then he says even if they are not in a lot of distress, they still don't have to fast. Okay. He adds that the minog is to be machmir, meaning even if they don't have to fast, these are the customs that they're machmir. That's strange. That's definitely not the minog today. Okay. Definitely not the minog today. And the Mishnah Berurah says if they're weak, then they don't have to fast. And that's basically what it's accepted by everybody today. Okay. Women that are pregnant and nursing generally don't fast today, and you shouldn't tell them to fast. Okay. Definitely tell them that they shouldn't fast. Okay. That's the widely accepted custom today, and there's no reason to change that because they're not chai to fast anyway. Okay. Minog is not going to be machmir. Okay. That's important. As opposed to Tisha B'Av, which again we'll have to learn about, but it's Tisha B'Av where we say that women, that pregnant women and nursing women should fast. And because the halakhas are complicated, we might spend a little time on it talking about that in a couple of weeks, but generally, you should ask the Shiloh, okay? I mean, it's complicated enough because of, each particular situation and any details that may go in that it's kedai to ask the Shiloh if you're not sure. But again, the general rule that if they're not very specific, circumstances that would create a problem, that pregnant women generally should fast on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur, at least to start with, okay? That's generally the rule, unless there's particular things about her situation. And again, Tisha B'Av will be more lenient than on Yom Kippur, but generally, unless there's a really specific issue, generally, women should fast. And again, we'll talk about this, but they hydrate themselves, sufficiently the day before, usually they'll be fine, okay? It's not a statement to take lightly, but it happens to be true, okay? All the experience that I've had with this stuff and all the people that I speak to has been that in general, as long as she's generally healthy, and she drinks enough that they do before, and enough means you got to drink a lot. You can't just drink a couple. If they really drink a lot, then usually everything is fine. But we'll talk about that more in a couple weeks, perhaps. Okay. In terms of a chola, okay. So what about a chola? Somebody who's ill. Can somebody who's ill break their fast or not fast on the minor fast days? Okay. Anybody know the rule? Anybody familiar with this rule? Yes. The answer is yes. The question is how do you define a chola? Okay, that's really the question. What do you say? Okay, somebody whose life is in danger, I think we all know that's pretty clear that you definitely can... What do you say? Good. Okay. So that's basically what most of the posts are. Again, it's not 100% clear cut in the Mishnah Berurah on the halachos of this time period of these fast days. But what's generally accepted is that what we call cholosh ein bo sakana. Okay, with somebody who's ill, who is not just a headache. He's he's ill. He's really ill, but he's not dangerously ill. Such a person is still permitted to eat or drink on the minor fast days. Again, if he's feeling fine when he starts the fasting, then he should start fasting, obviously. But if he either knows at the beginning that he's already ill, or he becomes ill in the middle of the fasting, so there is room to allow him to eat. And the definition basically, which is used here, by the way, this actually, we'll learn about this later, this is actually used also on Tisha B'Av, okay? Even though Tisha B'Av is more stringent, for disregard in terms of a chole, many posts actually say it's the same thing. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah brings it down there, that somebody who is, ill, a chole she'ein bo sakana, would be permitted to eat on Tisha B'Av as well. Correct. Yom Kippur is completely different. Yom Kippur, it has to really be a danger. Okay, danger to life, or potential danger to life. That might get to danger to life if you let it, if you let it be, if you don't do anything about it, or if you don't eat. Okay. What's generally followed for the minor fast days is basically the same rules we follow for Shabbos, as we said before. That for Shabbos, the definition of Chol She'ein Bo Sakana is either that you are basically have to lie down, meaning that you can't really function on your feet in a regular way. If you are forced confined to bed for a significant period of time, or even if you are not able to be confined to bed because your kids are, down your throat, so basically, if it was your choice, you basically really need to be in bed. Okay, you really can't be up and around, but what you're gonna do is so basically you have to lie down, or the other option is that what we call chola kol gufa. Okay, if your entire body is aching, your entire body is in pain, your entire body is sick. It's not just an eye infection or an ear infection or something else like that. It's the entire body feels, which is generally true, by the way. Again, if you have a fever or if you have other problems like that, generally you can assume that the entire body is sick. In all those situations, it's definitely permitted to eat and drink on these fast days. That's generally what the post can say. And that's true, again, for eating or drinking. Here, there's no distinction in terms of, how much you have to eat or can you eat, do you have to fast afterwards? Once it's done, it's done. Okay, whenever you start eating or drinking, that's it. Your fast is over. You can do whatever you need. You shouldn't, start eating candies and cookies and stuff like that, but whatever you need in order to get through the fast, nutritious food is perfectly fine, and there's no need to fast anymore afterwards. Once it's broken, you can eat whatever you need. Okay, that's basically the rule when it comes to that. Okay, any questions about that? That's, again, there are obviously more interesting situations, but that's the basic rule. Okay, any interesting situations to bring up? No? Okay. That's basically the rule. Again, any specific questions, obviously, because I'd ask the Shaila, but those are the rules. Next question. What's the story with medication? Okay, can you take medication on these fast days? Right? What do you say? Yes. What kind of medication and how do you take it? Okay. First question is, do you need to? Right? If you don't need the medication, then obviously you shouldn't take it. The other option also is if you can take it early in the morning before the fast starts, or if you can take it at night after the fast is over, that's obviously preferable. Okay. If that's not the situation, so then the question is, can you take it? So the answer is that the medication itself is permitted because it's not a food. Okay. It's not meant to be a food in general, unless it's chewable and tastes good, which even then it's still a question. It may not be, it still may be mutter, but that's generally to be avoided. But anything other than that is generally mutter. Okay, you don't chew it, you swallow it. It's not food, it's medication. Therefore, it's mutter. You get to take medication. It's not so the same thing as some other discussions that they talk about in terms of medicine, which is not kosher. Okay, which generally the post more lenient about, at least when you don't have a kosher option. As opposed to when you are there, say that it's mutter when you need it because it's not really a real food and it's not you don't chew it, you just swallow it. So here also we say that it's mutter. Question is, what if you need to take your medication with? Fill in the blank.
Water.
Okay, now what? Now the water is not medication. The water is water, right? And if you're thirsty and it's hot outside, you are going to enjoy that water very much, even if that's not your point, right? The question is, what do you do about the water if you need to take the medication with water?
Beer.
What'd you say?
Use beer.
How does that help?
Use a small amount of water.
Okay, so again, the amount of the water is probably not going to matter. If you're allowed to use the water, you're allowed to use the water, period. What the person advised here, if possible, is the following. They say that if you're able to make the water bitter, okay, stick something into the water which makes the water lose its flavor, not flavored, doesn't have flavor, but make it lose its normal taste and become bitter. What could you throw in that's not, you know, poisonous to you?
Lemon.
What'd you say?
Lemon.
So lemon, I don't think, even that, I don't know if it makes the water bitter. I think if you use some sort of food, not food coloring, but something along those lines, which, what'd you say? Let's say like, yeah, or let's say like a bitter plant or something like that, okay, like a lemon, a mint plant, something that you put in the water, which doesn't, you know, make it dangerous for you to eat. It's not unhealthy, but it makes it taste horrible, okay? If you can do that, so then you will not be getting enjoyment from the water. That's definitely possible. That will be permitted when necessary. If you can't do that, okay, it's impossible or it's not good for you or whatever it is, if you have to, you have no choice. You take the water, okay? But again, that's, you know, first try to work out the possibilities of not taking the water if you can. Okay, that's basically the first thing. The next question is, what about antibiotics? Okay, the antibiotic counts in this category of medication that you need to take on, let's say you're fine, okay, you're perfectly fine now, all right, you're not a whole shambles of cutting anymore, but you're on antibiotics because of an infection, good examples, okay, you got strep throat, whatever, who knows what, okay, and you need to take your antibiotics, so what do you do? What do you say?
Take it.
Now, again, can you get away with taking it without water? Regular pill. If it's small, maybe, but you know, regular pill is probably difficult to know. What would happen if you took it without water? You choke on it? What do you say, doctor?
I think you feel that way you're choking on it.
What do you say?
You feel like you're choking on it.
You feel like you're choking on it. Okay.
I'm just like with that.
Wow. So what could be, again, I'm not sure if I would advise this. If you want to test it out beforehand, you know, perhaps you could test it out the day before and see what happens. And if you start choking, drink water. At least you'll know if you can do it or not. If you can do it, then that's great. If you can't do it, if you can do that safely. If you can't do that safely, don't try. But if there's something you can do safely, you'll have water right there and just try to see what happens. And you'll swallow it down with water immediately, you know, within a second if you need to. That's an option. Okay, something to think about. If you have to take water, so the question is it permitted to take the water with the antibiotics? So here, again, some of the folks can say that if you can't use bitter water, which again, I mentioned before, some of them say, they should do that. I'll just tell you who said that, by the way, the bitter water, but Kafa Chaim is the one who mentioned the bitter water idea. He's quoted in the Pesukei Shulchan and also in this, for Ferrari's Green Saver here, Nikrei Kodesh. If you can't do that, so then basically we have two opinions here that I found in Poskim elsewhere. Okay, Rav Moshe Feinstein basically held that if you don't take the antibiotics, okay, you will be a Chol Shein Bo Sakana, meaning you will get yourself back into a situation where you will be sick in a way which is, you know, debilitating in some form. And Moshe said then it would be permitted to take it even with water if necessary, okay? But if not, it's always going to be something which is, you know, you'll be left with some sort of ache or pain, but it's not going to, you know, make it difficult to function, then Moshe seems to think that you can't do it, you can't be makil. Now, he's not talking about the fast days there. There he's talking about Hilchos Shabbos. That's Shuva. I mean, Moshe says that he's talking about Hilchos Shabbos, but it's the same concept, because again, the rules of who's a chola are basically roughly the same. So here you have an interesting point. Okay, now what are the most common cases we take antibiotics for? What would you say? What do you think? Right, so strep throat is a common one. So strep throat, I think, is clearly in the category of cholish and bosakana. Okay, when you actually have a strep throat, you know, it's quite painful. And if you don't treat it, obviously, right, what's going to happen? You run risk of
kidney damage, heart.
Yeah, a lot of bad things, right? Kidney damage, heart damage, heart damage, other things.
There's also a risk of like maybe. Strains that are resistant because people will take it and
right,
stop
right,
taking it.
Right,
and you may be still fine, but you can actually create the
correct
strain, which
correct
can be a second for other
correct
people down the road.
Correct. Yeah, I think that's definitely true. So I think even according to Rav Moshe, who's machmir for strep throat, I think we would say that if you have to take it with water, it's permitted to take it with water. Again, the only question is, how many times do you have to take it? You can take it twice a day or once a day? It just depends on your...
Yeah, twice a day, once.
Twice a day.
Right,
so the question is, twice a day, it could be that, you know, it really should be encouraged to get up at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, take one, and take it at nighttime, you know, at 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night. If that's doable, again, check with the doctor, but assuming that's fine, that would be encouraged. Okay, really, really, you should do that. Okay. If you can't do that, or you got to take it 3 times a day, again, I've had cases people ask about not strep throat, but other things, you have to take it 3 times a day. You know, again, people, you know, they get to... People that are sometimes a little bit older or other have conditions that have to take medication quite a few times a day. That's not an option. They just take it before and after. So in those kind of situations, again, the coroner of Moshe, if it's Chol Shein Bo Sakana, it'll be mutter. The only other thing I'll just mention there is that I've discussed this with doctors before. But what happens if you don't take it, okay? If you don't take it for a few times, you do run that risk. What happens if you miss it one time, okay? My kid forgot to take their medication one time. Is that going to really give you the risk of, you know, the resistant strains or all the other damage? doctors for sure won't recommend it, because they definitely won't say that's a good thing. But at the end of the day, one time, is it really going to mess you up? Not so clear. Okay, so if you ask a doctor, again, you could basically always discuss with the doctor beforehand whether they think it's okay to take, you know, and it's preferably a firm doctor. You know, it could be in some situations, if you skip one pill, it's not the worst thing in the world. But again, generally speaking, it's not good practice, okay, medically or even halakhically. Once you skip one pill in one case, you might end up confusing it and doing the same thing in a different case where it might be more problematic, or skipping it twice. Bottom line is that it's better to, really medically, you should be taking it all the time. But again, you know, check the doctor, especially if they're firm. There may be some wiggle room in some situations to be a little bit more lenient if it's just one time that you're skipping it. But again, mikra din, according to Moshe, would be mutter in that case. If there are other cases where it's, again, where it's not quite a chol shein bo sakana, it's something which is like a minor ache, which they give you antibiotics for, but it's not going to ruin you if you don't take it, then already your Moshe may be machmir. You might say that's a problem, that you can't take it. There's Shlomo Zalman Orbach in Hilchos Shabbos, quoted in the Shoshat Kachav, says it's mutter. You know why? He basically says that Chazal didn't mandate that you could never cure yourself from your illness. Even if your illness is a very minor illness, Chazal would never say that the prohibition on Shabbos of not taking medicine applied in a situation where, because of it, you wouldn't be able to get better. So therefore, he says that antibiotics is generally mutter on Shabbos anyway, even if it's a minor illness. And I think, again, I'm some positive, but I think probably he would say the same thing here as well, that if you really need it, then basically here also, if you need to take it with water, it might be permitted. Okay? That's, again, an interesting discussion. Hilchos Shabbos, which is probably very relevant to the fast days as well. Okay, any questions about that? Okay, so we can finish up here, about 15 minutes before. Yeah.
Let's say I'm at work, and I'm falling asleep on my thing. And I could take, what's it called, caffeine suppository. No, it wasn't a New York pill.
Right.
You make them now.
New Yorkers.
I guess
if
I'm, let's say, my productivity at work is very low, and maybe I'm sort of with a feeling from my employer because I can't have my coffee thing, would I be able to possibly take one of these caffeine pills?
So you're talking about orally?
Orally.
And you need to take it with water? You can...
I think we'll take it without water.
If you do it without water, it's probably mutter. Okay. Now again, I wouldn't do it without a need, but in your case, if that's a need of, you know, stealing time for whatever, you know, that it's nicker than his mutter. Okay, it's not really considered to be eating, so I would say that's fine. To take it with water, I would be very hesitant to do that in that situation. I would say if you have to, I don't know, taking it with water. What do you think? That's fine. Okay, if you want to do this, you're welcome to do it. Yeah. Yeah, you heard it first here. Right? Take it orally with water. I don't know. I would be very hesitant to allow that just for the sake of work. I don't know if that would be mutter. If you get fired from... If you're in a situation where if you got fired from work, you would start getting so sick that you would be a full shame. But like, oh, no, then all right, maybe we could talk, all right? But maybe we should just try to maybe take a vacation day instead. Or take a sick day. That's probably, I guess, better. Than all right. The question is, how much money do you have to lose in order to keep the fast day properly? Okay, if you're going to take a sick day, you have to lose money for it. If you lose money for your sick day, so then how much money do you have to lose? That's the question, all right? Well, Mr. Frenich and Rabbanon, there's a bit of discussion on how much money you have to lose in order to keep Mr. Rabbanon. We'll talk about that some other time. Okay. All right, next thing. All right. What is the story with brushing your teeth on the fast day? So again, the first thing to do is you really need to brush your teeth the night before, which you do anyway, and if you really need to brush your teeth in the morning at 4 o'clock. It's better not to brush your teeth, but the question of why is very interesting, okay? And without going into the details, actually some very interesting discussion about this point. I'm just going to give you one bottom line here in the Ramah, one point, which is relevant to the rest of the background discussion. The Ramah here says, very interesting, he says that... if somebody who rinses out his mouth, the Shulchan Aruch says that somebody who rinses out his mouth in the morning should not do so is appropriate not to do so on a Tanis Tibor. Okay? He's not talking about swallowing the water. He's talking about rinsing out his mouth and spitting it out. Okay? So that's not appropriate to do on a regular Tanis Tibor. Okay?
Just in relation to water, what if you something like Listerine?
Good. That's a good question. Okay. So he says that's not allowed. The Ramah adds here that that it's permitted will os atse kinamon, ushar besamim ve'etz masok ulafech grown up with boat. It's permitted to chew, like in your mouth, on cinnamon sticks and other kinds of besamim, okay, of spices or whatever, and sweet wood, etz matok, like sweetened wood, in order to make, like, you know, saliva come out in your throat and to spit it out. And so that's the Mishnah Brura says that's mutter. Okay. That is okay. The psak of the Ramah over here. I'm sorry. Again, okay, so that's what the Ramah says. What's interesting is this is what the Mishnah Brura points out, is that that's only true according to one opinion in the Rishonim. Okay. What he says is that according to the more accepted opinion in the Rishonim, that generally speaking you can't you cannot do this. Okay, meaning number one, that you can't put water in your mouth and then spit it out. Okay, that's number one. And that opinion actually appears earlier in the Shulchan Aruch in Siv Aleph, or in Tufkos Talmud Zayin right now, that's where I'm reading from, Tufkos Talmud Zayin. And I was reading from Siv Gimel in Siv Aleph. There are more things to say that that you can't spit out. Okay, you can't you know, put water in your mouth and then spit it out. And based on that, the Mishnah Brura seems to say that to suck these cinnamon sticks also, according to the Ramah over there, would seem to be not allowed. Okay, I mean, even though the Ramah says that it is allowed, but according to the opinion that he quoted a little bit earlier, it seems that it's not allowed. What's the bottom line? So the bottom line is that according to this, generally speaking, the modern poskim want to say that lichas chiva, it's better not to brush your teeth off aste. Okay, why? Because they basically equate putting toothpaste or other kinds of things, or Listerine, or any of the kinds of things, mouthwash or whatever, they equate that to the case of these cinnamon sticks or wood, you know, wood eighth matok or stuff like that. Basically, they say that that's equivalent, and therefore, if we're going to be machmir on those things, based on the Sif Aleph, where the Ramah seems to say that you can't spit out things, and again, post assume that applies as well to some of these, you know, other things that are not exactly food in your mouth. Therefore, the same thing would apply to brushing your teeth. However, Mishnah Brura says that this is in Siv Gimel. Mishnah Brura says if somebody was mitzta'er, okay, if it's hard for him, okay, he's in distress, so then it is permitted. Okay, just make sure again to bend your head over like this so that nothing gets swallowed by accident, and you can spit everything out properly. Okay, so basically based on that, if it's a big discomfort to not brush your teeth, so then there is room to allow brushing your teeth or using mouthwash or any other thing on a fast day. That would generally allowed. There are chashulchans even more make of that. There are chashulchans who say even machachila, it might be permitted to do so. So again, you know, if you're somebody that is important to you, there's definitely room to be lenient. But if not, it seems that it's machachila at least. It's better to not be made guilty to brush your teeth on a fast day. Okay? Any questions on that? No? Okay, let's just finish up here. Just two more points quickly, then we're going to stop. Number one, just in terms of, both of these points are in terms of davening. In terms of davening, so one of the main things we do add in on the fast day is anenu. Okay, this again is discussed in the Rishonim and the Poskim. But we basically add in anenu, we pass, and we add in anenu only at mincha, not at shacharis. I don't remember if I started, and if I started, I added in at shacharis. Unfortunately. What did you say?
Yeah.
I mean, for everybody or just the chazan? I don't remember. I mean, for Ashkenazim do not add in anenu in the silent Shemot Esrei on for shacharis. Only the chazan adds it in the shacharis. For mincha, everybody adds it in. Okay. Correct. So that's the only thing I was going to say. What's it called? When somebody who's not fasting would not add in anenu. Okay. This other, by the way, is discussed in the Shulchan Aruch and in Tosfos Sound Love. Shulchan Aruch says that see, we're added in anenu after Goel Yisrael, before Rifa'inu. So he adds in that bracha. Okay. But again, it's Silas one Esrei. So again, at Mincha, generally for Ashkenazim, everybody adds it in. And in the morning, generally it's not added in. Even in the afternoon, again, generally our accepted custom is that we do it only if you're still fasting. If you're not fasting, you wouldn't say anenu anymore. The Shulchan Aruch also says that if you're not fasting, you shouldn't be the chazan. Okay, so the chazan, and also the Baal Kore, and all the people that are involved in the tefillah generally, ideally, should be fasting. It's not, again, you have to ask the Shiloh, it's not kosher. There could be room to make it when necessary, but it's really should be, they should be fasting. know, we're not going to go into details of that now. At least for our community, you know, there's enough people fasting, there's no question. There were some communities that we lived in that there was only 2 people fasting. There was a question whether you can lane and do all the extra things if you only have 3 people that are fasting. Generally speaking, you should have at least a minion, but there are those that are making even for 3 people. So besides the chak, there may be some to make on that. The last point I was going to mention is here in Eretz Yisrael, Birkas Kohanim is a question. Okay, do you do Birkas Kohanim at Mincha on a fast day? So the answer is very possibly yes. Okay. The whole basis for Birkas Kohanim, if you remember, why don't we do Birkas Kohanim at Mincha? Anybody remember why? Right. So you're afraid the Kohanim in the time of the Beit HaMikdash would be drunk if they drank wine. So therefore, and generally they drank wine at their lunch meal. So therefore, they instituted not to say Birkas Kohanim at Mincha in case they would be drunk. Okay. So what's interesting is, again, without going into the details here, on a fast day. So on a fast day, when you're not eating, so there's grounds to say that maybe you can do Birkas Kohanim Mincha. Okay. The only question is that maybe that's true, and this I'm not going to get into the details because we don't have time, but that may only be true if Mincha is done at the regular time for Mincha, which we call Mincha Katana. Okay. Meaning, if Mincha is davened at Mincha, if you daven Mincha Katana, okay, the later Mincha, like after the 2.5 hours before Shkia, okay, the second period of Mincha, which is basically if you have a late Mincha, that's basically what it is. So that's generally what's accepted. Okay. So that's the regular time of Mincha, so therefore, in that case, if you're not eating, then it's clear that the fast day is different, and therefore there's no concern of Kohanim getting drunk, and therefore you can do Birkas Kohanim at that time. If you do Mincha on them earlier at Mincha Gedola, let's say you know the 1:30 time slot or 2 o'clock time slot, that already, because the Mincha is done at a different time, so that already is going to post and say maybe not. Okay, there maybe you don't do Birkas Kohanim. And that's generally what's accepted. Okay, in terms of Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoseinu, that's a little more complicated, but here in our Yisrael, for Birkas Kohanim, generally accepted that if it's early Mincha, then you don't do Birkas Kohanim. If you do late Mincha, so then you can duchen, assuming that it's for Shkia. After Shkia, again, it's also a whole big debate. Better to avoid that, but that situation. But it's only for Shkia, so it's permitted. It's generally we do duchen at Mincha. Okay, we'll stop here. Next week we'll deal with halakha 3. Okay, that should cross everybody.